My heart, my blood, my brain. Oh, I love it when we lose control. My God, oh my God. Oh, I can feel you racing through my soul. Every little nerve, every little vein. Every time I think I'm coming down, give me high again. I don't ever want to get clean. No, I need you in my bloodstream. That's what kind of dopamine.
Hey, my name is Daphne Willis. I'm chilling with Donald, and this is Nashville Hits Collecting Dust.
All right, everybody's ears are on, everybody's mics are on, so you're hot. So at the end of the day, whatever you say can and will be used. I don't know about against you, but it's going to be used in my show.
How's used that? It for a podcast.
That's right. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Surprise. Well, not really a surprise, but I have a guest host because, well, super sick Kevin McCarty cannot make it today. So I'm okay with that. Honestly, I get a break. How's that? You know, every now and then he cracks on me and I'm like, I just need a break. So I've got good buddy of mine, and we'll call him my celebrity guest host, Tom Beaupre. What's up, bud?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
Last time I saw you, you were on No Big Deal, just a little stage in Chicago at a place called Wrigley Field.
Yeah. Wasn't too shabby.
And all right. Yeah, it was an amazing experience. Tom, actually, we have... It's been a while, Tom. I'm not going to lie. My feelings are getting hurt because I haven't caught a pick from you in a long time.
I
think you're getting so big that I can't even get close enough to the stage to get one.
I think
one
I've lost my ability.
Yeah.
I keep throwing it and it hits security guards. It doesn't even make it to the fans.
That's awesome.
Lost my talent. My hidden talent is not a talent anymore.
Well, all right. So who you hear is our guest host, Tom, but let's be honest. We are here because of our special guest, Daphne Willis. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
You've been looking at us like, hey, y'all even going to talk to me? Because I'm in this chair.
No, it's cool. Y'all just go right ahead. I'm just going to sit and listen, you know?
She was like, so y'all invited me. Why?
No, I figured maybe we'd get to it later or something. Yeah,
yeah. You can go get a coffee and we'll come back to you.
No, I already brought my highball.
I love that it's called you highball.
It's called a highball.
Listen, the last thing I need, honestly, Daphne, is another upper in my life.
Yeah.
And she did. She just introduced another upper. But yeah. You described it as the LaCroix with crack.
Yeah, it's like LaCroix with crack in it, basically.
Perfect.
So, it's like a healthy energy drink. It's, you know.
And this show is sponsored by...
Right. Exactly, right?
Yeah.
No, oh my gosh. So I love those drinks so much. I took a picture of it and like posted it online and I tagged them in it. They sent me a bunch of cases of it.
That's
really?
Awesome.
Yep.
Can we do... Hey,
you guys should, you know, come on, get on it.
I was about to say, it looks like old style.
Hey.
But now I feel like I shouldn't. It looks like a million buck idea and you should probably send me a case of it.
Hey, where's that tequila bottle? should be tagging. And what else do we want to tag here?
Is it flavorful? Does it have a flavor?
Yeah, there's different flavors. And they have some that are sweeter, that are sweetened with sugar. But the ones that I like are like completely unsweetened. Because like artificial sweeteners, I don't know about y'all, but they like seriously fuck with my stomach.
Yeah, me too. Okay. I can't do it.
I just can't do it.
Well,
and so these are nice because I get that, you know, I get that energy drink like buzz without the stomach issues. And I should just do commercials for them.
That's right. Well, and I don't know, a little bit different taste buds. So that's okay because I actually like with coffee, I have a little coffee with my cream and sugar.
Yeah.
That's just the way I drink it.
Course.
It's candy
splash
coffee.
Yeah.
That's right. It's coffee flavored. Let's be honest. But I do love all those energy drinks, and I probably shouldn't. But you've introduced a healthy version, so thank you. Maybe even life changing. I like those shoes, by the way.
Thank you.
Those are awesome.
Doc Martens.
This is a podcast, so nobody can see them. But
we need to get some sponsors up in here, you guys. Yeah. Like, what the.
Well, hey man, I tell you, Tom. This is the first time that we are not I have never been a genre specific podcast whatsoever. So it's not ever been just country. It's never really even been at the end of the day about any specific genre. But so when she reached out to me, she was like, hey, Daphne, you and her would get along so well.
Yeah, totally.
First of all, as soon as you walked in the door, we were like, we've met each other.
Right. Exactly.
And that's Nashville, which is what I love. You can go out and you won't know everybody, but you'll go out and know somebody if you've lived here for at least
right.
a year.
And that person will know people in the room, and then you'll meet people, and it's just, it's amazing how that web just grows, you know?
Yep, and we actually know each other through a mutual friend, Fiona Cully, who's actually been on the show too. So go check out her episode. She is phenomenal.
She's awesome, and she's hilarious.
So funny. Yeah. Her accent and everything, we talked about that. Like, how do you talk with this accent? You're seeing, I don't hear it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, when you hear English people or American, I mean, there's just no accent. I think something about it, even like Sia, I think, is from Australia, and she doesn't have an accent. Like, there's a ton of people.
Keith Urban,
exactly.
Yeah.
But when he talks, he's got that accent. So
Someone tried to tell me you can't sing with an accent, which I don't believe, because Ed Sheeran has an accent when he sings. So does like James Bay.
But he has kind of a rap style. True. Song.
So that's valid. All right. Poke holes in my theory. Never mind.
So Adele doesn't really have an accent, does
true.
She?
True. She just says weird. Like, she has certain words that she says weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently you can't sing with an accent. So there you
Except
go.
Like an island accent.
Right.
Then you mean like Bob if you're Marley. From the Caribbean, Jamaica. You got, you know.
Yeah.
I was listening. Do you guys know who Lady Leshur is?
No.
She's a rapper from the UK, but she was, her parents are from the Caribbean. So she has this crazy, listen to Queen's Speech 4. She has this EP that's like, it's hilarious. Like her music is, that song is just hilarious, but her accent is really interesting.
Yeah.
And I literally had to like Wikipedia it because I couldn't put my finger on what it was. Cause she sounds very English, but then she also there was like something else going on and it was Caribbean.
Huh.
But you should check out that song cause it's amazing.
Done. We'll do that next. Talking about where people are from, where are you from? I know you've lived here 8 years, but
yeah.
What brought you to Nashville?
I'm from Chicago originally.
Okay.
And I moved down here. I got signed to Vanguard Records.
All right.
When I was 19. And they had me coming down here for co-writes, which I hadn't done, you know? So I was like, 19, come down to Nash, Vegas.
Well, you skip a little something. Like, and most people don't just go, yeah, I got signed. Like, who and how and what?
Oh, well,
you know, did that happen?
Yeah. So I've been writing songs since I was in high school, kind of self-taught. And, had a band in Chicago that we would travel around in this, you know, giant green van that looked seriously sketchy. And yeah, and then I made this EP and I ended up getting like a sub licensing thing through DMX where you just get your music played in like PF Chang's. I mean, those things are easy to do. You just basically submit your material and they put it in the rotation, you know, and you get like a few pennies every month in the mailbox. But it ended up that they ended up putting it on American Airlines flights, and Kevin Welk, who's the president of Vanguard Records and Welk Music, was on a flight, and this is back in the day when you could like plug your headphones into the armrest, you know, and his iPod died and he plugged his headphones in and my song was playing. And then they sent up Gary Pachosa, who does A&R for them, who's here actually, to Chicago, and then signed me, and that was that. And then I was, you know, all of a sudden I was dropping out of college and, you know, doing the damn thing.
That is a great story. I've heard people, you know, being found on social media. I've never actually heard somehow my music got picked up on American Airlines.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
It's extremely serendipitous, you know.
Are you still doing something similar to that? Or has your style changed?
My style has completely changed. Yeah.
Because
they're super, they're more like singer songer-songwritery kind of Americana folk. They have some pop. They have like Matt Nathanson, Greg Laswell, Indigo Girls, Sean Mullins.
That's who I was thinking. I was like, I've heard Vanguard before. Yeah, Matt Nathanson. He's awesome.
Oh, and they have a great roster. It's just, it wasn't really the direction that I wanted to go. And they're pretty niche. So I left and then I was indie for like several years. Now I'm writing at Sony. So I write for Sony and, nice. And then I'm DIY on the artist side and I love it.
Yeah.
I put out music whenever the hell I want.
Well, I mean, you have great music. You have great music.
Everybody at this point. Yeah.
Well, not me. I'm not putting out any music. I could try, but no, it's not going to happen. I have the passion for music. Definitely. I just don't have the ability. So, but I'm okay with it. I own it.
Well, you're in the right place.
I just talk. That's what I do.
Talking is also good.
The gift of gab, maybe. But I don't know. I feel like you had a great story. I think a lot of people know it. I know you have a great following, phenomenal music. I love your new song, which I can't wait to hear. But I just really want to learn like more about you in general. You said, I guess you started with one kind of style and it developed. How did that mm-hmm. change? Like, why?
I think, it just went from being a little bit more acoustic to being a little bit more full on, just more instrumentation, more yeah. horns, more better songs. I think they're just being here and writing, yeah. you know, that always gets better, and working with better producers and, you know.
Well, and also, so like on one of your videos that you posted on Facebook, I feel like from a writing standpoint, you even made the comment that, you know, you're writing more vulnerable now. I yeah. think it's been a year or so sure. since you said that, you know, hey, I've quit drinking. Yep. I've, you know, quit kind of self-medicate. And I was just wondering, like, where was that? Was there like a crossroads that you came to in life? And it was just like,
yeah, I was self-medicating for like a long time and I would quit for a while and then I'd start back up again doing that whole dance that people yeah. do, you know? And, I was dealing with a lot of, you know, just traumatic stuff from childhood and from some stuff that happened to me in college. And, you can't ignore those things, right. you know? And, I think it was on my, birthday and I had a night and went out and just like, you know, kind of disappeared. And I was my girlfriend who is my partner now. The behavior wasn't a reflection of what I wanted to be and who I want to be. And I think I stopped and took a look around me and realized that I was worrying my parents and worrying her and making people, you know, upset and worry about me. And that's when you need to just kind of step back and take a look and go, you know what, maybe I need to make some changes.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that I did. And I'm really glad that I have and had her support, you know, because she could have easily just walked away and said, I'm not signing up for this.
Right.
You know? Because it's been a long road and it's been a lot of, you know, trial and error, getting on the right medication, you yeah. know, over the last year, because that's a whole nother ball game. But essentially I was, you know, like I said, self-medicating. So now I'm working with professionals and I'm on the right kind of plan.
Yeah.
And it's night and day. I mean, my productivity, my outlook on life, I feel like there's been this like dark cloud just lifted up. I'm living my life, you know, really enjoying everything. You don't realize how far down you are until you're out.
Ooh, of that's
something
good.
Like that, I think.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, that's a good story and a great perspective. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people can relate.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
That's
not a lot of people want to talk about it. And I feel like because it's painful stuff, you know, people yeah. have to deal with. And also vulnerability, you know, makes people feel like they're weak, but it's actually the opposite. You know, there's just massive amounts of strength in being vulnerable. And it's been such an empowering experience to share all this stuff. And the more I do, the better it is, the easier it gets,
yeah.
the stronger I am, you know.
But has that made writing easier or harder?
Easier.
Really?
Because it's almost like you care so much less. When you realize that those things aren't going to hurt you to say, you care so much less about what you say because, and you can be so much more honest with other people and with yourself because you've just kind of got this, you know, strength
yeah.
behind you.
I've heard it said one time that, maybe it was put this way. It was like, but usually what your biggest fear is that you probably spend 98% of your time, effort, and energy hiding from the rest of the world, you know, because you're just so afraid of somebody else. If anybody else knew this about me, it would, you know, destroy me.
Right.
But, you know, and maybe that's that addiction or whatever that, whatever it is, right? Substance or whatever your is, right? But I've heard it said, but once it's dealt with or once you acknowledge it or own it, it ends up becoming your biggest
strength.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And that's yeah. totally the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's awesome. I, you know, I applaud you for not only just, you know, doing that in your own life, but then sharing it obviously and connecting with others. You know, I actually heard that you actually had this kind of like private group that y'all were just kind of walking this journey together, right? Online.
Yeah. Well, so I put out a song called Somebody, Someone in February. And that's kind of like when like my lifestyle changes that I had made a year and a half ago really took shape in my artist, like in my kind of public artist side of things. And people respond, you know, have been responding to this song. It's a song that's dedicated to, you know, people dealing with mental illness and homelessness and addiction in their families or themselves. And people started like really responding to this song and posting pictures and, you know, reaching out to each other, people commenting on each other's comments, like crazy style. I mean, my Facebook went from 7,000 to 80,000 in 4 months.
Whoa.
From this video. And everybody's been so engaged. So we were like, you know, we should make a group for these people because they want, everybody's like searching for somewhere to like put all of that pain and happiness, you know, like it's really inspiring stuff that these people are sharing and posting. And so it's cool for me too, you know, like I go in there and I'm like, oh, someone posted like some super inspirational comment for the day, you know? So it's just really, it's been really cool to see that take off too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking and reading around on some of that stuff. I'm like, yeah, I always see amazing talent. I mean, Nashville, right? So much talent, right? And I'm blown away every time. But there, I tell you, I've always said this, and I like to just sit back sometimes. It's not even for me to talk anymore, but sit back and watch. When somebody finds, or not finds, when the light bulb goes off that this is the purpose and the calling,
right,
that's when they're dangerous. Like, you know what I mean? It's like talent is one thing, right? How many people are talented, right? But it's somebody who's talented that all of a sudden owns that this is my purpose. Like, and how many lives have been changed? And it was because you owned your own first. You own your own first, right?
Right.
You share it and then look at the domino effect. Right. Look at the...
Well, you can't talk the talk and let... You know,
yeah. Right. That's awesome. Well, definitely a great story. And, but, you know, it's on the other side, your music... I was jamming to it by myself before y'all got here, by the way. So it was kind of cool. I had it up on the screen and stuff. So it was really good. Dopamine is your new one, right?
Yes. Yep.
And I want to ask a couple of questions before we get to that. But I mean, you know, you can really hear kind of the conviction that in your writing, in your songs and everything like that. But is there anything like in these three questions that I'm going to ask? There's no right or wrong, by the way. All right.
This isn't a test.
This not a test.
You guys don't grade people.
Well Tom Donald
he's like, well,
Tom judges. He has a scale over there.
How
from
can you be
one...
a judgmental dude? You're wearing a Pink Floyd shirt.
I know, but I am behind a white desk, so it's... I feel like I'm a judge.
Cancels it off.
Totally got to bring the black lights in here and do the whole thing.
Black light posters.
Well, you know, a lot of what our listeners are people that are pursuing music, but even if they aren't, what I love about kind of this format is they are usually taking away something that if they're pursuing a dream, music or not, they can learn from like our journey, right?
Right.
Because we all have to overcome fear. We all have to overcome some sort of rejection, right? We all have to persevere. Mm-hmm. And would you say that all three of those things are in music? Industry?
Life.
Yeah, it's called life. So I love these questions because yes, you're an artist, you're a musician, but you're really pursuing a dream and a passion. You're living that journey. So we can really learn a lot, regardless if we're pursuing music or not, from your answers. So if you could have coffee, let's just say whatever your new LaCroix would crack. If you could have that with yourself right when you started pursuing music, knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself?
I think that... I would definitely, I mean, knowing what I know now, just in terms of how the last year and a half has gone, I would definitely encourage myself to face a lot of my fears in my personal life and on a personal level so that can kind of be also reflected in my art, because I feel like the writing has just gotten so much more vulnerable and real. Mm. And I think that's what people connect with. I mean, that's what makes any artist, you know, great, is that they have some kind of truth or something that they're willing to share and put out there. And I just don't think I was there, you know? And at the same time, if you're not there, you're there, you're not there. And sometimes it just takes time to get yourself to those places. But, I would definitely tell myself to just open up, be more direct, be more vulnerable, be more honest. And,
do you have a moment like when you knew music was it for you?
I mean, I've always wanted to be in music, and I also, my dad works in the music industry.
Okay.
So I have also been very aware of how difficult it is to make it. So I went to school. I was at DePaul University studying like secondary ed in English, kind of not sure what I wanted to do, but I was definitely like on the college education path.
Yeah.
Music as a hobby. But then when I had the opportunity to do it full time, of course I took it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's definitely been my passion. And it's helped me through so much in my life too, right. You know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
How full time has it been in the 8 years? Because you came here totally, with a record deal, right?
Totally full time.
Really? That's
awesome.
Yeah,
100%.
So either playing or writing songs, you've been doing that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank you.
That's rare here in Nashville.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, it's been a struggle at times, you know, being indie is a struggle, but I've been lucky to have like fans that have, you know, supported me and taken care of me.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I've really lucked out.
Have you done a lot of outside cuts? Sorry, I'm just...
No, you're fine. No, and I've only been writing at Sony for a year and a half, 2 years. Okay. So it's kind of like... And it's a totally different game. I just got a couple O-Town cuts, which is pretty dope.
They're coming back?
They're coming back.
That's awesome.
And I've got a couple... J.C. Brooks and the Uptown Sound cut. Nobody on any majors as of yet, though. But still. I'm working with Atlantic on a bunch of stuff that they've got going.
Cool.
And that's been really exciting. So.
Is that hard to connect in Nashville to like that LA and New York pop scene?
Kind of. I think I go to LA and New York pretty regularly. So, I mean, I feel like I'm there as much as I need to be.
Okay.
You know?
I know, and they're all coming here.
There's a lot of people coming here. So yeah. I'm just here and they're looking for pop writers here. So
cool.
I'm like, all right, great. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I don't know what Nashville's doing. It's holding its tongue right or something, but you know what I mean? Like Nashville's exploding in so many ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about it, we were in the hockey Stanley Cup champion game. And then all of a sudden Nashville's like the largest city to see the full eclipse.
Yep.
You know, and then it's like, music and not just country, right? All genres now, and LA and a lot of people coming. So I'm really excited to live in Nashville.
Yep.
To be quite honest. So I was actually going to ask that. I go, you know, what is it, you know, being more pop, I guess, than country, what's that like being the writer in Nashville at Sony?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, there's fewer of us. So you're a little bit, you know, I think more sought after because I think even people in the country genre are wanting to do kind of mess with the pop vibes, obviously.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Tom?
Tom?
Is Backstreet Boys pop? I don't know.
So no, it's been super fun. And when I first moved here, it wasn't nearly, there wasn't nearly as much of it. And now it's just like, oh my God, so much pop everywhere.
Yeah,
I love it. Yeah.
Well, a couple years ago, you know, when you guys were out with Aldean, you know, but it was just like, you know, DJ Silver is like out with Aldean, you know, kind of, it was like a track guy that was always with the country guys.
That was
know?
Country trying to be pop was like, we got a DJ. Isn't that cool?
And yeah.
I was like, no, we got like Jason Derulo and Boy that. So it's cool. I mean, I love where country's going because that's more my scene too.
Yeah.
So I think everything that's, you know, Thomas Rhett's new record, it's just like, you guys are going to be the hot songwriters here in the next 2-3 years because that's all anybody wants to write. So
Right.
It's cool. It's a good place to be for you.
Well, it's cool too because I feel like Nashville pop is different than the pop in LA and New York because of the whole, I think, focus on the lyric and the craft of that.
Still got to be a bit of a story.
There's still got to be a story. There's still got to be continuity. Like, you can't just throw in a line that doesn't f***ing make any sense.
Wiggle.
I feel like, and while that, sometimes that is, like, definitely the way to go, because there have been so many hits, you know, that have come out of those places, I also feel like the writers here, you know, on pop, any genre, either side, are hands down just more, I think, focused on that, on the actual song content.
Yeah.
Than just the hooks. I mean, anybody can write writers can write a melody.
Yeah.
It's all about the phonetics and phrasing of something actually meaningful within that melody.
Right.
I've been in a few writers around. I can write a speech all day long. It's different though. I don't know why it's different, but I've been in a couple of writer rooms and I'm like, scared to death. But then some of the best pieces of advice that I've gotten is like, dude, you got to dare to suck. Like, that's literally...
Right, exactly.
It was like, you are thinking of something and you may not say it because you think it's going to sound stupid. Say it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Yep. I'm like, yeah, so that's...
It is all about just blurting out. I call it verbally vomiting. You just vomit into the room verbally and something sticks.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, because it was told to me, they were like, yeah, you know, what you say may actually suck, but it may spark something in somebody else's mind. Yeah. And I was like, oh, now I get that, you know, but that's actually really cool. Awesome. All right. What about like some of like the best advice that someone else has given you? It doesn't even have to be about music, but that you've always just kind of, you know, held on to.
Yeah. My dad has always said a goal without a plan is just a dream. Mm. So basically... make a plan and your dreams can come true, because if with the correct planning and
maybe that's why it hadn't happened. So my last week, I mean, seriously, I do a temperament training, when it comes to like, certain things that you're good at, not good at, like my organizational skill planning is like so weak.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm the 180 degree directional guy. Where are you going? That way.
Right. Totally.
Like the details don't matter to me.
Right.
You know? And so that advice that you got is so good, because I need those people in my life, or because I'm just not great at it. You know, it's like, oh, we're going, let's just go. Well, how are you going to get there? I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Right.
There's no
right.
planning to it. Right. You know?
And I am that way too, like for sure. So it's taken me a long time to kind of let that sit and like really soak in.
Yeah, but you know, I think
I'm still working on it.
Do you feel like you have a plan?
I do. I feel like I've gotten very organized in the last couple months, especially for the next year or two. Yeah. And I started working with some new management. So that's been a game changer too. You know, that can just be everything.
Yeah.
That's a huge hinge, that's
big thing.
Yeah.
That people, I think, undervalue and underestimate.
Oh, I mean, it's invaluable.
Yeah. What? It's like having a parent that just has wise advice and like can make the, I don't know, musicians are such dreamers and
totally
our brains everywhere, but where it should be. So,
cool. So we now have a plan. That's I now awesome. Feel like I have a plan.
That's good.
So I'm very excited.
God, the old sales manager is coming out in me. I'm like, plan your day, work your plan. Yeah, just immediately is what just went through my head. It's like, what is if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail.
Yes.
Like, seriously,
yeah,
these are all of my like sales manager cliche things. But, and it's right. And I think the biggest reason is because plans change all the time, right? It's always about like you, but I think what it does is it makes it real. Right. Because when you're just dreaming about it, it's not real yet. But when you put a plan, it actually, there's that belief, I think, more or less that no, we're actually going. It's going to change, you know, as we go. But that's actually awesome. Very simple, but very true. So cool. This is my favorite one, though. You ready? You have to finish this statement.
Ready.
And you have to say it very seriously. You don't have to. I don't really have a bunch of...
Let me drink my highball. Let me get ready for this question.
Oh, gosh. All right. Donald. And then there has to be like a silent pause. If you really knew me, though, like you would know. And then finish the statement.
If you really knew me, you would know...
You forgot Donald.
Yeah, Donald.
It's got to start with Donald.
Donald.
Silent pause.
Yeah.
Donald.
Self-reflection.
If you really knew me,
perfect.
You would know that I stole my haircut from my dog.
What?
I have a dog named Boo, and I stole her haircut. She looks like a Dr. Seuss character. And I'll show you pictures. I have Instagrammed.
I was about to say, I'm literally taking a video now. we got to put this on the story because nobody can see your hair.
Oh, right. Okay. My hair is, you know, I don't know. It's like a Dr. Seuss character.
I love your hair.
It's kind of asymmetrical and it goes to the side and it's like shaved. I'm working on a killer rat tail in the back.
I saw that.
It'll be braiding.
Oh.
And putting like some beads and shit in there to make it like super gnarly.
Tom, she's got a plan for her hair.
I have a plan, and it's a long-term plan because it's not quite there yet. Like, I can't quite... Y'all should have seen it like a couple months ago. It was just like this little weird nub of hair sticking out of the back of my f-ing head.
And when people ask, you're like, no, I have a plan.
Right, and so that I was just trying to connect everything here because I have a plan. I have a dream.
Yeah.
I have goals. And I'm going to get there. One inch at a time with my hair.
Well, if there's anybody that understands hair, I do think Tom and I, as we understand, come on.
If you need to learn patience or like plans, grow your hair out.
Yep.
Because man, you learn some self-control of not cutting it when you get to that awkward stage.
Screw parenting. Whew. You just grow your hair out.
Everyone should grow their hair out and learn what it feels like. Oh, there's a good 6 months you're just going to be like, I look disgusting.
I look terrible. Yeah. But you know what? It's for a good cause.
I'm going to get there.
It's going to be hashtag worth it.
Yes. That's awesome. Well, I love your hair. So well, I would have never in a million years guessed that you got it from your dog.
I did, yeah.
But that is a good fun fact. What's your dog's name?
Boo.
Boo.
Little Boo.
What kind of dog?
She's a little mutt, man. She's she's a Chinese crested terrier mixed with a Jack Russell.
Okay.
So if you know that breed, they're actually bald everywhere except for their head, and they have like a crest of hair on their head.
Interesting.
She actually has hair all over her body, but she does have like a mohawk on the top of her head. And yeah.
You were like
Lil Boo. I was
sorry,
like, dude,
Lil Boo.
You got it down. I'm copying that shit.
That's awesome.
That's great.
That's awesome. Tom, where did you get your haircut idea from?
The dude from 1975.
Really?
True story, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw it and I was like, that dude looks awesome. And his hair is like a little less curly than mine, but he had the sides shaved and, you know.
Naturally curly like that. That's
it's
awesome.
It's not permed. I don't sit under the thing for an hour like a grandma.
Oh, no. I'm disappointed.
Yeah. No, honestly, if you want to have a good haircut, go to Europe for a week and those dudes have it.
They got it down?
Yeah.
Their hair is always... And then, yeah, that dude. He's a good model. I just felt really awkward to say that. Sorry. Just picture my wife making fun of me right now. I'm like, damn it.
Shouldn't
have said that.
We could maybe edit it out, but I feel like we're probably going to throw you right under the bus there.
No, we're definitely... We're totally keeping that for sure.
Where do haircuts come from?
Well, the one woman that has made me spend more money in my life, period, responsible is my hairdresser.
Yeah.
It's a true statement. Yeah. Like anything that she says, it took 6 months for her to get me to do this, but that's all right. We did it. I'm from South Alabama, Daphne. And you have to understand that like...
You don't have an accent at all.
People say that. What? It goes back and forth. A lot of people say that. And then every now and then I run into somebody like, yeah, I can tell you're from Alabama. So I don't know if I just go in and out of it, but I don't think I do. I talk very fast either way. But I don't know. Either way, I will say this. So there's a thing called like Bama bangs.
Oh, okay.
Right. So in the South, in Alabama, you know, like all the frat guys, they have Bama bangs, right? And they don't really do their hair. It just kind of grows out and they're always...
Oh.
Yeah, like that. So when I moved to Nashville so many years ago, it was numbers, whatever. Yeah. And then went back home, though, you have to understand that like people were like, who are, because I started like doing my hair, I guess, you know?
Right.
And yeah, I was.
Like the Bieber sway? Is that what you're saying? No, that like
I didn't
boy?
Have, well, I just.
Is that the Alabama sway?
No. If you Google Bama bangs. I promise you, you know what
sounds
exactly
like a song
the, there you go. Bang. Hey, I'm a walking hook. I can't Bama write
bang.
A song, but
it's more of a pop song than a song.
It's true.
She bangs.
Yeah, that one worked. It went viral. It definitely went viral. Oh my gosh. Daphne, it's been a blast. And not only have you been like a lot of fun, but like a lot of profound, very awesome story. Just
thanks,
you
man.
In general.
Thank
but
you.
Awesome. Great. Words of wisdom. I'm really excited now because we're going to stop and tune and we'll have you play your new song. But before we do that, can you tell us the story about like how you wrote it, who you wrote it with and just all that good stuff?
Yeah, I wrote it, literally like 2 weeks after I decided to quit drinking.
Okay.
And the song is about, it's about passion. It's about love. It's about sex. It's about all that stuff. And, the good kind of dopamine, you know, the healthy kind of dopamine, and that you get from just living life and enjoying life and finding self-love instead of self-medication. That's what the song is all about.
Yeah. Did you write it by yourself?
I wrote it with Kenny Fleetwood and Luke Foley.
Oh, nice.
Luker. He's Luker on Spotify. He's phenomenal. Both of those guys are amazing. And they were so down to just go there with me.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Do either of those guys have any history with that?
No, I think, you know, Kenny did a lot of the production track-wise on the demo. So it was...
That's what I was...
It was teamwork for sure. I definitely had like this vision in my head for it, you know, and they just totally brought, like, pulled it out. You know, some writes are like that when you decide, because we decided we were writing for me, you know, which you do.
Yep.
It kind of dictates a lot of, you know, how the write goes again, you know?
So, in more of, I guess the pop genre culture, it may go both ways, but you write lyrically first, then write the track to it. Is it, or the other way around, or, you know,
we kind of, Kenny had like a track started and I just kind of started flowing to the track. Mm. And then like, I mean, literally you just sing stuff out. Like you said, you just sing stuff out and it's whatever like feels good. Singing it out loud is usually what's going to end up being the best vibe for the song.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I can't wait to hear it. So let this break here for a minute. We'll tune up and then have you play it. Sound good?
Dope.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Daphne Willis, her song, Dopamine.
Drug that money can't buy. Can't snort it, can't smoke it, can't drink it, ain't going broke. I know I won't ever find another to get the same high, same high. Took me to the top with a lean in your elevator. No stopping, weight dropping, went up like I was made of paper. Highs come and go, but I know that this one ain't a fader. Yeah, and I want it in the morning too. Don't know what you call this thing you do to me. Know what the chemicals I want, but you are the only drug I need, yep. My heart, my blood, my brain, whoa, I love it when we lose control. My God, oh my God, oh, I can feel you racing through my soul. Every little nerve, every little vein, every time I think I'm coming down, I get me high again. I don't ever wanna get clean. No, I need you in my bloodstream. That's my kind of dopamine, that's my kind of dopamine, that's my kind of dopamine. Whoa, that's my kind of dopamine, that's my kind of dopamine, that's my kind of dopamine. Check me rolling in the sky that nobody could shake down. No figure, no falling, no breaking up, ain't no dark cloud, ain't no dividing, denying it. I'm too high now, hit me with a dose of your skin, I wanna break free. Love it when we're spinning and tripping, you wanna taste me. Put me in your dreams, wherever you wanna take me, yeah. And I want it in the morning too, don't know what you call this thing you do to me. No other chemicals I want but you, you're the only drug I need, yeah. That's my kind of dopamine. Yeah, and I want it in the morning too. Don't know what you call this thing you do to me. No other chemicals I want but you. You're the only drug I need. Yeah, my heart, my blood, my brain. Oh, I love it when we lose control. My God, oh my God. Oh, I can feel you racing through my soul. Every little nerve, every little vein, every time I think I'm coming down, I get me high again. I don't ever wanna get clean. No, I need you dopamine. Whoa, that's my kind of dopamine. That's my kind of dopamine. That's my kind of dopamine. Whoa. Woo.
Dang. Isn't that, I mean...
Sorry, I was back there going, I was kind of dancing, filming, doing my own thing. And before I knew it, the song was up. I was like, whoop, I got to get on the microphone. Hold on 1 second. Daphne, that was awesome. Hey, thanks so much for coming in.
Dude, thanks for having me. You guys kick ass.
Hey,
a good song is even a better song when it's just as good on an acoustic guitar, in my opinion. So
thanks, man.
That's a killer.
Thanks, right? Dude.
I was just as entertained without all the production. So it was cool.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
I know it. Excited for you. Excited to watch you. Excited to watch you grow. I want to do this just because we're recording. Can you at least promise me, like, maybe when you're so big that I can't even get a backstage pass, will you come back at some point?
Well, first of all, thank you. And second of all, fuck you. Yeah. All right.
Just so you know, we have that on recording, legally binding.
Well, I already signed the fucking waiver. So.
Awesome. Well, Daphne, thanks so much for coming in. You know, give us a shout out every now and then if you'd like. But you guys, obviously, if y'all have not seen her play in person, we can find you on your website and all your social medias, right?
Yep. DaphneWillis.com. And I have a show at the High Watt November 9th.
Nice.
So.
Let's do it. Well, we will see you on the other side.
Cool, man. Thanks for having me.
Bye. Yeah.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.